John chapter 3, and we're continuing on this series on being born again. John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. And my message this morning is born of the Word. Next week we'll deal with born of the Spirit. Last week we dealt with ye must be born again. But I want to deal here this morning with born of the Word. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not which is born of the flesh is flesh, not which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wanteth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? My message here this morning, born of the Word, born of the Word, are born again by the Word of God. Twice in these verses, we have Jesus saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That means you need a second birth, a spiritual birth. Your first birth was physical, through your mom. That was your first birth. It was of the flesh, of the natural body. It was physical. That's what came first. But here Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. There is no other way. There is no second option. Religion, mass, communion, all manners of religious ritual, joining a church, none of these things will do it. You need a spiritual birth. You need to be born again. You need a second experience of being born again. We dealt with this last week where he said unto Nicodemus, you must experience the spiritual birth. But I want to go further here in Newton. Something else, that whenever Nicodemus responded, not understanding these things, thinking, how can I go back into my mother's womb? How can I be born a second time? Like that first time, can I go in my mother's womb when I'm an old man? My mother's in her grave. How is that possible? Jesus explained that when further in verse 5, in order to explain what it means to be born again, he says something in verse 5 that I want us to look at this morning. Look at verse 5. It says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now I want you to notice something here. Jesus twice has said, you must be born again. Now here, this third time in verse 5, he says, he begins to explain this. What do I mean by being born again? Or born a second time, or born spiritually? He begins to explain in verse 5 by saying, actually it's the same thing as being born of water and born of the Spirit. So notice these are all similar terms. To be born again means you've been born of the Spirit, born of the water. They are all exactly the same. To be born of water is to be born of the Spirit, is to be born again. If you haven't been born of water, you have not been born again. If you have not been born again, you have not been born of water. It is all the same. And unless you've been born of water, you have not been born again. And if you're not born of water, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't even see it. If you here sitting in this room have not been born of water, and I'm going to explain what that means, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand the kingdom of God. You don't have any understanding, spiritual understanding. You can't even perceive it. You don't even really what do you mean? But he actually goes further in saying you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is God's kingdom? It is a spiritual kingdom on this earth. There are two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of Satan or you're in the kingdom of Christ. And that is radically different. Either the Spirit of God is in you or the spirit of the devil is in you. You may be very nice. You may be a very kind person, and yet you're a child of the devil. You're in the kingdom of Satan. You're actually a servant of the devil. You actually live for him. You're actually proud of your niceness, or you're proud of your humility. What a desperate state that can actually be. And here Jesus in explaining, what does it mean to be born again? It means to be born of the water. To be born of the water, and this is what I'm going to deal with here. To be born of water, it is symbolic. The water mentioned here by Jesus, it is symbolic. It is a symbol of something. It is talking about something spiritual. And a spiritual experience where you get birthed by water. And this water actually has the power to make you born again. If you get born again by this water, you're a changed man or a changed woman. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 8. There are three that bear witness in the earth. Previously he said there's three in heaven that bear witness. There's the Father, there's the Word of God who is the Son, and there is the Holy Ghost. Them three bear witness in heaven. But he says here there's three that bear witness in the earth. Who are they? There's three that agree together, that join together, that work together in the earth. There is the Spirit, there is the blood, and there is water. Now notice that. The Spirit, the blood, and the water work together in our spiritual experience. They are one working together. We know what the blood of Jesus is. We actually know what the Holy Spirit is. But what is this water that is in the Word and agrees with the Spirit and the blood? What is the water? Because it says the blood, the water, and the Spirit agree together. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 5:26, speaking about the bride and the church being made ready for Jesus, that he might sanctify it or make it holy and cleanse it. How does he cleanse it? With the washing of the water by the Word of God. So we see to be washed with water. This symbol of water is a symbol of the Word of God. What he's talking here about when he says to be born of water is to be born again by the Word of God. Jesus is saying an experience of being born again, I mean really born again. Not this that they have that out there in the church, a little token prayer, a lifting of the hand. I'm talking about a spiritual experience where you're born again. I want to show you, and hear me this morning, if ever you heard me, a real born again experience. It means you have been birthed by the Word of God. In other words, the water of God has cleansed you. You have had an encounter on the day that you get saved. When you get born again, you have literally been birthed by the Word of God or by the water of God. It says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And listen how. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. How did he save us? By the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means rebirth or a new beginning. The washing of regeneration is where the Word of God rebirths you, or your life starts again, or the clock goes back to zero. Yeah. Yeah. You see, when the Word of God births you, you have an encounter with God where you're rebirthed, you're born again. There's a whole new beginning. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 23. It says, being born again. Oh, Peter uses a term as well. So not only Christ talks about being born again, Peter actually says being born again. The next time someone says, I haven't heard that before, then you haven't read the Bible. Oh, this is a newfangled LCC thing, or it's from the North or from America, or who created this? Christ did.
Yes.
Peter preached it. You must be born again. Listen to what he says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. And you know, if a Catholic says, I don't believe in that, we'll say, well, your first pope certainly preached it. Now, Peter, the first bishop of Rome, they called it, not us.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's very strange, because your bishop said you ought to be born again. Why are you not born again? Take them to the verse, show them. Say, would you mind reading that verse and explain it to me? Because your bishop seemed to think you ought to be born again. Amen. Now listen, being born again, how? Not of corruptible seed. What's corruptible seed? Natural seed. Normal seed. Human seed. You know, every tree, every oak tree came from a seed. In other words, in that tiny seed, if you ever go and see a great oak tree, it's pushed everything out of the way. It's a mighty oak. It's rearranged the furniture in the field. It's pushed rocks out of the way. It's pushed hedges out of the way. I tell you, it stands there as a mighty oak. Not easy to move that oak. It all began as a little seed. That's a corruptible seed. You know what? That mighty oak was in the seed. All of its color, all of its strength, all of its power was actually in that corruptible seed. But look what Peter says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see, those seeds will perish one day. That mighty oak is going to perish one day. It may exist for 500 years, but it will fall. It will come down. But it says, being born again, of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Notice that we are born again by a seed. The seed of the Word of God. When you're born again, the seed of God's Word comes into you. A tiny little seed of God's Word that germinates and begins to grow in your life. Now I'm telling you what a newborn babe in Christ looks like. If you get born again, God actually puts the seed of His Word within you. And you know what the likeness of is in that seed? It is the likeness of Christ. If this seed be in you, you are going to change. Your thoughts is going to change. Your decisions, your desires, how you think, what you seek after. You are actually going to grow and form into the likeness of the person of Christ. Then again, listen to what James says. James chapter 1, 18. Of his own will, he begat he us. How? With the word of truth. So James is saying, God beget us by his own will. How? It wasn't according to the will of man. You wouldn't have chosen him. You wouldn't have desired to come. He came seeking for you. He said, I loved you. I died for you. I bled for you. I suffered for you. He comes knocking and you say, no. You think he turns around and says, I'm so disappointed. I'm going away. He'll bust your door down. Can I tell you, there was a little boy in the Welsh revival, and he was praying, he said, Lord, and just a little tiny boy, and in the midst of that revival, people are getting saved. His dad was a drunkard, a curser, a fighting man. And the little boy in the meeting, he's praying. God hears the prayers of little boys, you know. And he's praying in the prayer meeting, kneeling down. And he says, Father, will you save my daddy? Will you knock on the door of his heart? And if he doesn't answer, break the door in and save him. That's good theology, you know. Not according to our will, but according to the will of God. He saved us with the word of truth. How does he save you? By the word of God. If the word of God isn't involved in your salvation, you weren't saved again at all. I can assure you, what is the born again experience? It's the birthing of a new man. It's the creation of a new creature. It is the beginning of a new desire. It is a new way of thinking. It is the word of God that molds this new creature. When a man gets born again, the word of God changes his thoughts, his desires, his decisions, how he lives his life. The word of God. You may not have read the Bible. You may not know all the commandments. But the word of God, the seed is put within you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. There is a new life that actually comes forth within you. So few desire the word of God in the church of our day. Preachers, churches, Christians. Do you know why they don't desire the word? Do you know why you can have in churches people sitting there saying, I'm born again, I love Jesus. And they get offended at the word, or say, I don't like that, or I don't need it, or I don't need to be in the house of God, I don't need to give to God. Do you know why? They were never born again by the word of God. What they call born again isn't born again. It actually, the word of God isn't there. You speak to them. They go, they don't think like this book. They don't speak like this book. They don't make decisions according to this book. They have no desire for this book. They don't even understand this book. They have no desire to count it as precious. You know what? They were never born again. Because when you're born again, you're born of the book of God, of the word of God, of the truth of God. I tell you, the minute a child gets born again, I mean, a newborn, it doesn't matter if you're 70 and get saved, you're newborn. You're born again. As soon as you get born again, there's a desire for the word of God. That's why we preach the word of God. Those who have a second birth, they're being born again, they desire the word. If you desire the world, the flesh, if you follow after the devil, if the word of God has no impact in your life, you ought to get very worried this morning. If you occasionally come to church, occasionally decide to obey God, there's something wrong with your experience. Because I assure you, those birthed of God want to live according to the word of God. This is how they think. This is what they desire. But let's come to Nicodemus in chapter 3 here for a moment. Nicodemus, when we first see him, is coming to Jesus. Why is he, and notice this, why is Nicodemus coming to Jesus? He has heard Jesus preach and teach the word of God. He has actually heard him in public gatherings. He has heard Christ stand and tell parables and tell stories and open up the word of God and preach from the Old Testament. He has actually seen that Christ is a teacher of the word of God. Yes, he's doing miracles. Yes, God is with him. Yes, all of these things. But he notes that actually Jesus is a teacher of the word of God. Here is a sinner. He hasn't been born again yet. He isn't regenerate yet. He has years of knowledge of the Bible. He has heard much teaching. He has read the Bible. But this man is not born again. His heart has never actually been changed. And yet he is drawn to Christ. Now notice this. He is not saved yet. But here comes a man to Jesus, and he is desiring the word of God. The teaching of the word has impacted his life. He came seeking for more knowledge of the word of God and to find out more about Christ. The first mark of the Holy Spirit's dealing with a sinner is their desire for the word of God. That is absolutely vital. Show me a sinner who has no desire for the book of God. The Holy Spirit is not working on their life. There is something seriously wrong. But show me, I don't care how bad the sinner is. I don't care how deep in sin he is. I don't care how religious he is. When he comes seeking for Christ, saying, it's the truth of God that's impacted me. I have a desire for truth. I don't care if it hurts me. I don't care if it smashes my idols. I don't care if it cuts me in two. I don't care if it hurts me in the inner parts of my heart. If it's truth, I want truth. And this is what Nicodemus was doing. He was drawn. He's not born again yet. But the mark of his heart is he is seeking after truth. He is a searcher after truth. Do you know what? The church is filled with many. They do not love truth. And you know what? They're going to get deceived in this hour. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians 2? Because they did not receive a love for the truth, God, not the devil, God gave them up to be deceived. Why? Because they didn't receive a love for the truth. Do you realize if you don't receive a love for the truth, you will be given over to a lie? If you enjoy your deceptions, your confusions, your lies. But there are those when the Spirit of God begins to deal with them. They may not be born again yet. Yet they're saying, I want truth. I don't care if it hurts me. I desire it. Look back at the end of chapter 2. We said this before. Remember, the multitudes came seeking Christ. They heard his teaching. They saw his miracles. It says when they saw his miracles, they believed on him. Why? Because of the miracles. A miracle was done. Hey, I believe. Yeah. If I do a miracle on this high street, I assure you, I'll get people to believe. If we go out on this high street and from one end to the other and I heal the blind and the cripple and the paralyzed, I assure you by the time we reach McDonald's, the other end of this high street, I assure you our church is going to be an awful lot bigger. There are going to be multitudes who say, hey, I believe anything you tell me, I believe it. Oh, I believe in it all. They can be the biggest rogues in the city, but they'll say, I believe it all. I'm coming to your church. I'm a member of LCC. I'm sure you are. Then they come in and settle in the church for a time. Weeks go by as we deal with sin and the heart issues and pride and covetousness and attitudes of character. When I begin to preach and expound, and he goes, is that guy still preaching after 40 minutes? How does he say all those things? Where does he get it from? I assure you, you're going to see the multitudes begin to dwindle. They'll come for the miracles. Multitudes will say, I believe because of the miracles. But just leave it for a year. A miracle will not keep you. I promise you. I have met so many that said, if only an angel comes from heaven, I'll believe. No, you won't. I've met many Christians say, if I could just see a miracle or an answer to prayer, everything will be fine. I'll have faith. No, you won't. That's a very dangerous concept. That a miracle won't keep you. Miracles are given because of God's compassion. You're sick. He wants to heal you. He does. It's also a sign of his divinity. But in the end of chapter 2, multitudes came believing. They weren't interested in the teaching. Do you notice they're not there that night? They're not knocking on the door of Christ saying, tell me more. I know you're a teacher. I saw the miracles. I know God is with you. I want to know truth. I desire truth. Speak to me. Deal with my heart. There was only one man done that, and his name was Nicodemus. All the rest are happy with miracles. But one man came knocking on the door and said, oh, I saw the miracles. I know God is with you, but I want truth. I actually am a seeker after truth. Do you know the same thing happened in John chapter 6? Sorry, let me just go back a second. In the chapter 2, verse 22, speaking about the disciples who stay with Christ, continue with Christ, it says, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Those who continue with Christ, who are they? They believe the scripture. Where is their faith? In the word of God. In the truth of God. I don't need an angel or a miracle to make me obey the Bible. I don't need that. You will get deceived if you say, well, if he answers my prayer, then I'll obey him. Yeah. You better continue in your sin. You better just go to the world. Do you know why? If your faith isn't built on this, you won't be here in a year's time or 2 years' time. You won't be. Your faith has to be in the Word of God. And if you're birthed of God, you want the Word of God. If you're not born of the Word of God, then your born again experience is a sham. It's nothing. If you don't desire truth, if you don't long to have your heart dealt with, if you're not hungry for this book, then you're either very sick or you're never born again. Do you hear that? If you don't have sin, I know what it's like to lose a desire to read the Bible. Haven't we all at some stage? I know what it's like to go, I don't feel anything. I don't even have a desire. Oh, I know that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying when you have no desire, no appetite, you're not even concerned about it, it doesn't mean anything. I assure you, there's something seriously wrong with you. There is an actual problem. So those at the end of chapter 2, either you believed in the Word of God or you believed in the miracles. But look at John chapter 6. It says in verse 2, and a great multitude followed him, that is Jesus, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Now look at a great multitude, thousands followed Jesus Christ. Why? They saw the miracles, they literally saw them, and was it say they believed on him? At the end of chapter 2, don't think every time the Bible says believed it means born again, it doesn't. You can have someone who says, I believe. Oh, I believe it all. I believe everything you're saying. You know, I know sinners in this city. I know them because I'm in touch with them. And they love their drink and their drugs and their bed of sex. And you know what? I don't need to argue about any point of doctrine. They believe it all. They actually say, I believe Christ is divine. I believe he died on the cross. I believe I'm meant to be born again. I believe if I died, I'm going to hell. I actually don't have anything to argue. I just said, I'm praying for you. Because your sin is, your problem is you love your sin. You actually love your sin. I don't need to convince you. So they are believers. They would actually tell you, we know in this city there's those, if they get their hands on a Catholic, they'll say, that's idolatry. You need to be born again. Yet they're going after their sin. Here I know from personal experience, and they're telling everyone else, you need to get right with God, you need to go to a real church. They're in their bed of sin here this morning. But you know what? They love us, they care about us, they like us. They believe in what we're preaching. But I assure you, they were never changed. They're believers, but they were never born again. Right. Their lives are not actually changed. Look at Christ. He had multitudes come after him when he saw the miracles, when he healed them. It was such a massive multitude, they followed him into the wilderness. As he went out into the wilderness, they came. And we're actually told there was 5,000 men, many more women. And as he looked at them, he said to his disciples, who's going to feed these multitudes? And remember the miracle of the bread. He got them to sit down in 50s, and he done that miracle and fed the multitude with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. This John 6. So look, they've saw the miracles, they're following him. Now they're starving, they're fainting, and he feeds 5,000 in the wilderness from this little boy's lunch. Listen to what they say. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now look at them. They're seeing the miracles. Now they're fed. Now they want to take him by force above 5,000 men and said, we want to make you the king of the nation. We want you to rule over us. Saints, what a revival. What a church. Or is it? You are the prophet spoken about in the Old Testament. You are going to be our king. Why did Jesus Christ depart from them? Says, because this wasn't the will of the Father. You know what he done? He went up into the mountain. Right up into the mountain. And it says they came seeking for him. Do you know he traveled to Capernaum, the north of the lake Gennesaret. He went there and the 5,000 plus went seeking for him. Is this not a spiritual revival? Thousands, thousands in. We believe you're the prophet. We want you to reign. We want you to have absolute sway. When they reach the little village of Capernaum, Christ begins to teach the word. Listen to the sermon. He begins to say, I am the bread of life. 5 times he said, I came down from heaven. I wasn't just born of Mary. I was birthed from heaven. I was birthed from on high. I came from heaven. I'm not just flesh and blood. I'm more than a prophet, more than a king. I came down.
Amen.
That's what the born again experience is. It is to be birthed from above. And Christ begins to teach them. And he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me drew him. Look at him. Multitudes are there seeking after him. And he says, you know what? You can't even come unto me unless the Father draws me. No miracle will draw you. No signs will draw you. It's got to be a supernatural work of God. This is what he begins to preach. You know what he's doing? In one sermon, he's preaching truth. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. If you eat me, if you eat of my body, if you eat of my flesh, the word of God, my body, if you eat of me, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Verse 53, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no flesh, ye have no life in you. You're dead. You're religiously dead. I don't care that you're excited about a miracle. You come all the way out into the wilderness. You are spiritually dead. I don't care that you're there all in the excitement of religion saying, I believe you're the prophet. I believe God is with you. I believe you're doing real miracles. He's actually saying, are you going to eat my flesh and drink my blood? He's preaching to them.
Yeah.
6 times he actually says, you need to eat my flesh. What's the result of his preaching? First, when they arrive, they're seeking for him. Then they begin to murmur. Then they begin to strive amongst each other. Why? The teaching. They loved the miracles. Everybody believed. But as soon as he begins to teach, they're striving, then they are departing. What happened? They arrive at the beginning of the sermon. We're all seeking you. At the end of one sermon, they're all departing. Thousands of them are saying, no way. In verse 60, they said, these sins are too hard. They're too tough. They're too fierce. They're too fiery. Who can hear them? Who can live like this? Hey, this isn't practical. This isn't real. Hey, we'll come seeking for you in the wilderness for a miracle. Hey, we're going to have a miracle service. They come seeking, but as soon as you begin dealing with real spiritual life and teaching, I'm talking about being born of the Word of God. And as soon as he begins dealing, in one sermon he loses his entire congregation.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Word was too hard. Verse 61, Jesus said, does this offend you? The things that I'm teaching, do they cause you a problem? You hear what I'm teaching? Christ knew exactly what he was doing, didn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Do you know what? He doesn't want seekers after miracles or the supernatural.
Yeah.
And I believe in miracles and I believe in the supernatural. And I've watched crippled legs straighten in front of me within seconds. I've watched it. And being shocked as I said, my faith couldn't have done that. That's divine. And not just once, several times in a night. Seeing God work. But you know what? Miracles won't keep you.
Yeah.
Miracles won't change you. It won't change your heart. You can get excited. You can get religious. You can get stirred for a moment. But you need to be born of the Word of God if you're going to be there in the morning. You can gather thousands out of religious excitement, but are you going to walk with God? Are you going to live this Christianity in Limerick? Are you going to be there in Knocklasheen? Are you there going to be there in your workplace, in your bank, in your family? Are you going to go back home to your family? Are you going to live as a Christian? I'll tell you, only if you're born of the Word of God. If you're caught up in religious excitement, you'll wake up in the morning and need a headache tablet to go, what happened to me? Yeah. It wore off during the night. Now I'm going to have to go back Sunday morning to get it back again. God help you, what do you have? Is this mere religious excitement or is it a life change? As Jesus taught hard sayings, he lost his entire congregation.
Yeah.
And it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Notice it says many of his disciples. Didn't say atheists or sinners. Many of the disciples, those who said, hey, we follow Christ. Peter, where's the congregation gone? Peter, cancel the next meal ticket. We won't need to provide for the crowd anymore. How many is there? 12 for lunch. Only 12. And in fact, he said to the disciples, what about you bunch? Are you going to leave me as well? Mm-hmm. He's not worried. Do you know what? He's looking for the real.
That's right.
He's looking for changed lives.
That's right.
He said, well, Peter, James, John, Matthew, what about you guys? Are you going to follow the crowd? Did your religion evaporate during the sermon? Was the sayings too hard? Did it deal with your heart? Did you get offended with me? Have you tripped over the things that I'm teaching, which is basic Christianity? Can you not even endure for a year or for 3 weeks? You know what Peter actually turns to him and says? He says, Master, listen, thou hast the words of eternal life. I can see Peter saying, man, your words have killed me, Master.
Yeah.
Don't think the real get it soft. Well, if you find the Word of God hard, that's you out. Saints, the Word of God kills me.
Yeah.
It's dealt with every motive, every decision. I've lost friends, relationships, opportunities to preach. Wonderful things I've lost. I've lost a fiancé. I lost a girlfriend. Got the ring back in the post. Well, that's that. I can go all the way through. I've lost about 100 pulpits, I'm sure. Brother Clendenin said, preacher's not worth anything till he's fired 3 times. Boy, I must be some preacher. Been a lot of firing, I can assure you. But here's Peter saying, you have the words of eternal life. He's not saying, oh, I think they're soft words. I think it's all easy. He's not saying that. Some people hear hard words. Others hear, these are words of eternal life.
That's right.
There's life in these words.
Right.
They're not just hard and narrow. They are life to me.
Amen.
The same sermon, 2 people hear 2 different things. One says that's hard. The other says this is life.
Yes.
In the very same sermon. Back to John chapter 3. We see Nicodemus being confronted with being born again. John 3:9, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? You're saying I need to be born again. How can it be? How can these things be? And Jesus said, what, are you a master? You're a scholar. You're a biblical student. You study the Old Testament and you don't know you need to be born again. You don't know that you need to be birthed of the Word of God. You don't know the Word of God needs to change you in order to be ready for the kingdom of God. Don't you know this? You know what he's saying? He's saying, Nicodemus, it's in the Old Testament all through it, from Genesis to Malachi, is this experience of regeneration and the new birth. Let me give you an example, Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. What's it speaking about? The born again experience. About being changed by Christ. What happens when you're born again? I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all of your filthiness and from all of your idols will I cleanse you with clean water. Now this isn't a cleansing for sin. The blood cleanses you from sin. But here is a cleansing with water. What is that? It's making you clean. I'm going to get rid of your idols, your cherished things in your heart. The things that before you get saved, you go, I will never let go of. This is life to me. Get born again. The word of God will sprinkle you from your idols. It will cleanse you from all of your filthiness. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to write my word on your mind. See, if you're under law, it's all outward. When you're born again, he writes his word on your mind and your heart. When does that happen? The day you get saved. The day you're birthed of God. You're birthed of the word of God. The word of God gets written on your mind. That's why it's not just trying to obey the word. Well, I should do this. I want to do this. I want to obey God. I want to be free of my idols. I'm not sinlessly perfect. You know, a sinner can still fail God and sin. But I'm telling you, I want to be cleansed of my idols. I want to be washed with the word of God. What's an idol? Anything this book says is an idol. It could be a person or a thing. Or something very precious to you. And he says, you know what? If you're born of me, that idol has to go. That ambition has to go. That relationship has to go. This word will cut straight in between. That's one sure thing. In John 3:19 it says, this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. This is the same sermon preached to Nicodemus. Listen to what Jesus is preaching to him. You must be born again. What are you talking about? Light is come into the world and men loved, agaped darkness rather than light. Because, and this is the reason why they loved darkness and hated light. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone who doeth evil hateth the light. Unless the Holy Spirit works on you. Neither cometh to the light. So they hate the light. They don't want to come to the light. That's why people can come to miracle meetings. But when the word of God gets taught, there's an issue. Oh, I believe. I want miracle manna. You look at all the big conferences. It's always built around miracles. Very rarely teaching. Very rarely. You know why? The people come, but as soon as their sin is reproved, they hate the light. They don't come to the light. Why? Lest their deeds shall be reproved. The light exposes your deeds, your motive, your heart, what you're doing. That's what happens in the church. So many are saying, I'm born again, I'm saved. No, the light exposes your heart attitude. You don't love God. Oh, I do love God. I want to go to heaven. I believe it all. But you don't love truth. You don't love the word of God. You know all these things and you have no desire to obey it. Or you say, sure, it'll be fine. It won't be fine. It won't be fine. They don't come to the light because light reproves. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest. Why would you come to the light to allow your deeds to be made manifest? If you love the truth, you do. If you're born of the truth, if you're born again of the word of God, you actually have a heart that says, I want to be reproved. I want the light to shine into my life. I actually come to the light knowing the light's going to reveal everything. Saints, there's some things I think's okay until I get in a meeting under a certain preacher or I begin to read certain passages of scripture. And as I read it, I tell you, you can want to close that book or say, now can you just hold pause button on that sermon? Because it begins to deal and you're not as pure and your heart isn't as right and you're not as sincere as you once thought. You know what? The light reproves pride in the heart or secret desires in the heart. The light reproves it. But you know what? If you're born of the word of God, you actually come to the light saying, I want the light of God to shine. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to play games with God. I want the light of God to reprove and to rebuke and to shine into my heart and to expose everything that is darkness. I actually want that. Why? I'm born again of the Word of God. I'm birthed of the Word of God. Let it hurt me. Let it tell me something I don't want to hear. Let it change my convictions or my attitudes or my choices.
Yeah.
Let it do that. Why? Because I am birthed of God. I am born again. That's why Peter couldn't leave him. When the multitudes left, well, disciples, you 12, Peter, are you going to leave me? I cannot leave. I don't think they fully understood it. They are birthed of God. They were birthed of the Word of God. They believed the Scriptures. Therefore, they could not leave. Let me finish with the four kinds of ground in Matthew 13. We're dealing with people who come in contact with the gospel. Four different kinds. The sower is the same. It's Jesus. He is the sower of the seed. The seed is the same. What is the seed? The Word of God. It's the Word of God. And Jesus tells a parable about the sower going out into the field. And he begins to sow seed. Here is Christ sowing his word. Making sure that people hear the word. But he says there's four different kinds of ground. The seed isn't different. The preacher isn't different. The word isn't different. But there's four different types of ground. Only one of them is birthed of God. The other three aren't. Listen to it. This is Jesus talking about this. To be born again of the Word of God. The first person is the wayside hearer. It says some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden down underfoot. What's he saying? As he sowed his seed, some of that seed fell on a hard path where people walk all the day. They're walking there and the ground is compact. It's actually beaten hard. And many people are walking on that path. And when the seed falls on it, it sits on the ground. It doesn't go into the ground. It sits on top of the ground. It's uncovered. It's sitting on hard, compact ground. And the seed's been cast and it sits there. And he goes further. And he says, then the fowls, or the birds of the air, they come down and they devour the seed. They take it and they eat it. They consume it. What are we talking about? He said, this is those who hear the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not. I'm talking about a person sitting in church, hearing the gospel, hearing all the testimonies, hearing you must be born again.
Yeah.
And when they hear it, they just don't understand it. You know what they are? That ground is so compact. And there's so much maneuvering of people there that the seed sits there. That could save them. It could birth them. It could change their life. Radically change their entire being. That seed could come into them and save them. And yet it just sits there. Who are the fowls of the air? They're demons. Do you know the devil? You walk out of here, the devil seeks to steal the seed of the word. Do you know, if you go back over the series from the beginning of this church and listen to what was preached and listen to amens and think back who believed what,
yes.
That seed got stolen.
Yes.
That word got stolen. The devil comes to steal the word of God. And there's those, they are actually called the wayside hearers. It falls on them and it sits there. They don't do anything with it. And the devil comes and steals it. And they don't understand. I'm telling you how, you know. These people say, sure, I'll be fine. I'll be okay. He'll be all right. Yeah, sure, I'm like everyone else. You don't understand. You don't even love God.
Yeah.
And the devil comes, goes, thank you very much. You haven't even put any effort into it. You haven't even broken up the ground. There's no way that seed can get in your life. It's got so much traffic. You know, some people are so busy, so caught up in things and activities. The seed's sitting there that could save their soul. And they're caught up in heaven. And they're so hard. And the devil steals it. The second one, the stony ground hearers. He says some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith it sprung up immediately. Now look at these. They're sitting in church, they're sitting in meetings. The seed falls into the ground. They receive the word of God immediately. Think about this. It's happened in our church. Immediately they spring up. Why? It's surface deep. It's not deep soil. You ever heard about someone being wafer thin? They're not a deep person. Oh, something happens. Praise God. Then where are they for the next month? I've spoken appeal. I'm going to go preach for Jesus. I just love you to come to church.
Yeah, amen.
Love you just to obey him. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to travel the world for Christ. And we're going to see revival and miracles. And God's going to do all this. Just try going to two services in a row.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus is talking about this 2,000 years ago. He says the seed falls on some ground. It's so thin. It springs up immediately. Listen to what it says. And he says when they hear the word of God, they receive it with joy. With great joy. They're so happy. I'm so glad, Brother Keith. Thank you for the word of God. I would be a multimillionaire for everyone who walked in that door and said, I finally found the church. Oh, I love this preaching. Man, I have been, sir, where have you been all my day? I have been looking forward to that. I've been looking for this.
That's right.
Paul and Soph, they look at their watch, say, well, brother, how long do you think it'll be? We're not playing games. We're talking about the truth of God. Had a man sit back there, 40 years saved. One Sunday morning, he was gleeing. He come and he said, I waited 30 years to hear that sermon. Saved 40 years. He was gone pretty soon.
That's right.
Do you know why? He wanted a little Bible study. Do his own thing. Never read the Bible. Only read the Bible once in 40 years. And he actually wanted to teach this church. Be the Bible teacher.
That's right.
30 years, he says, waiting for that word. Didn't last long, did it on you? Made very little impression. Jesus said there's those, they spring up very quickly. But you know what? When the heat of the sun comes out, they wither quickly. You see, this is those who endure only for a time. But they get offended when tribulation comes or persecution because of the word. They disappear. They get offended. They're gone. I thought you were going to die for him. I thought you loved them. I thought you said, I'll do anything that you tell me. You're gone. Thirdly, the thorny ground hearers. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. There was some growth. It seemed, man, something happening here. But all the thorns, nobody had moved the thorns and the weeds. Oh, I want the real, but I'll keep all this old trash. Won't clear the ground. Sure, it can grow together. After all, there is growth here. The seed is actually growing. You better get rid of those weeds. Because they'll choke. What are the weeds? Listen to what Jesus said. These weeds are the cares of this world. Do you want to kill the word of God in your life? Cares of this world. Burdens. Busyness. Activity. Heaviness of heart, cares, concerns, discouragements. Man, life's so bad. You're killing the word of God. You're choking it. I tell you, when you see a Christian and it's all, my life is so bad. You are destroying, you're literally destroying the word of God from your life. You're choking it. Don't blame anybody else. You're doing that. My life is so terrible. Jesus saved you. God loved you.
Yeah.
He delivered you. He cleansed you. You didn't deserve it. You've got an eternity with God. You're a prince with God. You're rich beyond measure. And you're there going, my life. God help you. You need born again. Anyone can say that and say they're born again. Man, they need to stop. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, that's different. That's enjoyable. Man, I'm getting rich. I'm becoming prosperous. My bank account, hey, it's all legit. Got my two cars, my house, my holiday, got everything I need. Can go out and buy. I'm doing okay. That can destroy the word of God in your life. Yeah. Don't get this preaching at prosperity conference, do you?
No.
Do you realize that the deceitfulness of riches can actually destroy God's word in your life?
Yes. Yeah.
And it becomes unfruitful.
Yeah.
But there is a fourth. They're called the good ground hearers. Jesus said, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This is those who heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit. There's no fruit. Doesn't matter how much of the word of God. Some of you's heard an awful lot of the word of God 3 weeks in school of Christ. Wonderful. Better bear fruit. Or else you're a hearer and not a doer. And it shows your heart's deceived. You can actually store up a lot of the word of God. Remember what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. How do you know a real sheep? They hear my voice and they follow me. What does a goat do? A goat doesn't do that. It's not born of the word of God. A sheep is born of the word of God. Even a lost sinner who's a sheep still wants to hear the word of God. That's why even if I deal with sinners, but they go, I want this, I desire, I know, I'm convicted, my heart's hard. Man, there's a lot of hope for you.
Yeah.
But the goat, that old billy goat, sits in the church. That dried up prune. That billy goat, boop, 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 butts everybody. Me, 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 me. Pride bigger than the Eiffel Tower. That billy goat's dangerous. He doesn't want the word of God. He doesn't want it at all. One last scripture, 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes, if you're born again, doesn't matter if it's a day, if you're born again, you're only a child, a babe in Christ. You're not expected to know it all at the beginning. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If you're born again, you're a babe. Maybe you've progressed beyond that, but you're at least a babe if you're born again. And Peter, here preaching commands, desire the milk of the word. That's not meat. It's not the heavy things, that's milk, that's basic what you need. Do you know the word desire there means intensely crave, possession of, to earnestly desire. Desire is too light a word. It means to passionately. Have you ever fed a baby out of a bottle? Have you ever held a newborn babe? Or have you ever seen a baby and it's not long born? Who taught it to feed? Neve, who taught your wee one? I mean, I can imagine Neve must have went on a course. How I'm going to teach my little nipper how to feed. I'm sure she had to go through weeks. Her mum took her in hand and said, no, we're going to go through a week of training here. How do you feed your baby? And how are we going to educate this baby on its first day? It's got to drink milk the first day. How are we going to teach this baby? Because if it doesn't eat, it's going to die. Nobody ever struggled to get that baby to feed. As soon as it's born, it's gone.
Yeah, amen.
Unbelievable. It is sucking mad. When I was younger, I used to feed little lambs. We called them sucky lambs. You held that bottle. It's a little thing. It's pulling the bottle out of your hand. It's a big bottle. And it's going. That sucky lamb. And that little baby's the same. Saints, we're to be that. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There is an appetite within the born again child. born again of the Word. And you know what? Someone who doesn't desire the Word of God, either you need to go back and repent and say, forgive me, bring me back to reality, or you need born again. But if this Word isn't precious to you, take ye heed that it's not been snatched away by the devil, or that you haven't become offended over the Word, or that something in your life isn't choking the Word of God to death. Be sure that there's some fruit. Saints, I don't expect you to bring forth the same fruit as me or anybody else. Neither do I expect to bring forth the same fruit as you. But there's got to be fruit.
Yeah.
Or it shows that you were never born again of the Word of God. Let's stand here. Jesus.